Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Bartlett Naylor, the Financial Policy Advocate for Public Citizens Congress Watch Division and the Principal of Capital Strategies Consulting, Inc., which works with progressive organizations attempting to reform public policies where corporations play a key role. Formerly, he served as the Chief of Investigations for the United States Senate Banking Committee, where he led probes of the savings and loan crisis, corporate takeovers, and insider trading. Welcome to Background Briefing, Bartlett Naylor.
Thank you for having me.
And the Senate Republicans blocked an effort to put somebody in charge of the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that was created by Elizabeth Warren. The Senate voted 53-45 on a procedural motion. So Richard Cordray is out there dangling. The White House, in a sort of veiled threat, said they might nominate him as a recess appointment. What do you think will happen, Bartlett?
Well, it's a good question. We hope that the president does, in fact, use their constitutional authority and make a recess appointment of Richard Cordray. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which will be, I think, in 100 years, the shorthand accomplishment of this president, is intended to protect consumers against abusive bankers. It's unfortunate that we have to have a police agency to prevent abusive bankers from abusing consumers, but it's obvious that we do. We need a director because the statute, as approved by Congress, prevents a directorless agency from protecting non-bank victims. In other words, the payday lender victims, some of the worst victims of financial abuse without a director. So we encourage, now that the Republicans have done what we expected them to do and to block this, we hope that the president will use his recess authority and put in a director.
So when you say, Bartlett Naylor, that this history will prove this to be the signature achievement of the Obama administration, the formation of the Financial Protection Bureau, that might explain why the Republicans are so determined to destroy it.
Well, it's unfortunate that's the case. And what that plays out is the incredible grip that Wall Street has over Washington. And their grip is reflected in this vote today. I mean, I think this will be part of that history book. The list that comes out of those who voted for and against will be remembered, I think, for a long time, because the power of Wall Street is the power to make campaign contributions. And unfortunately, we have a cash and carry Congress, especially when voters are unaware and are buried in the complexities. And I think that what took place today was an attempt to dramatize, to make the theater very real of whose side the various senators are on. This is Wall Street versus Main Street. This is the real economy versus the bonus-bloated banking gamblers, the 99% versus the 1%. And I think that's what happened today, and it needs to be reinterpreted, as you are doing, for the American voter as they hold their senators accountable.
So let's then, Bartlett Naylor, again, the Financial Policy Advocate for Public Citizens Congress Watch. He was formerly the Chief of Investigations for the U.S. Senate Banking Committee. The Senate voted 53-45. They need the 60 votes. Everything apparently nowadays requires 60 votes to pass in the U.S. Senate. 53, that's not all of the Republicans, not all of the Democrats, right? So there must...
It's the Democrats. It's actually missing John Kerry, who was absent. It's missing one Republican who voted yes, Senator Brown of Massachusetts. And interestingly enough, a Republican, Senator Snow, who voted present.
I see.
She explained later that her husband works for a private college, a for-profit college, I should say, and student lending is part of the issue, and this the abuses of student lending is one of the areas that the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau will go after. Presumably education issues affect she'd be voting on in a number of areas, but we'll take it. We'll take that as a reason. But you make the basic point: if on a procedural motion, this nominee was prevented from advancing.
And everybody says that he's a sterling fellow. He's all of the attorney generals, or just about all of them across the country, including a lot of Republicans. I believe the Republican attorney general from the state of Utah went to the White House to support Richard Cordray. There was some fairly intense lobbying going on, but to no avail.
Well, this is not really about what's important is this was not about the credentials of the nominee. Blatantly, 44 senators signed a letter saying, unless you eviscerate the powers of this agency, we won't let anyone, Buddha, Jesus Christ, George Washington, be head of this agency unless you dismantle, defang, delay this agency. And why is that? Well, the real reason is that Wall Street paymasters demand it. Unfortunately, the abusive, unfair, and deceptive practices of Wall Street, and that's the legal mandate that the CFPB is intended to contest, has become the value proposition of the financial industry. Those are not my words. Those are the words of Barney Frank, the former chairman of the House Financial Services Committee. And that profit source is what is at play. And if the CFPB successfully combats that, that will reduce or help to reduce the financial sector from 20% of the GDP back to 10%, where it is now to where it was after World War II.
Well, obviously, the Republicans are basically saying that that we're not going to allow a director in place unless you weaken this agency. But you say that's the lobbying from Wall Street. But it would seem to me that also, if the real motive of killing the directorship of this agency, making it useless in terms of its ability to oversee payday lenders and these so-called non-regulated, non-bank institutions that are not regulated unless there's somebody in charge of this agency. Wouldn't it be these bottom feeders on Capitol Hill that represent the payday lenders, the ones that exploit servicemen, and they charge up to 300% interest that would make the mafia embarrassed?
That's the collateral damage. It's not the payday lenders who are lobbying. It is the demand letter that was written last spring by the 44 senators, and they will be part of the scandal when this great history is written. It will be like the Keating Five of 25 years ago. They will have a lot of questions to answer. They said that unless you dismantle this agency, we will hold this director hostage. Now, the collateral damage, the innocent victim of this hostage situation is that the payday lender victim and that mafia figure, that the loan shark, will continue to get to abuse that payday lender victim. That's not really what this is. That's not really the main dynamic, but that's the victim that you're seeing now.
Well, but
and in right. This very cynical calculus. I'm from Idaho, and this has been a very rude awakening for me over the last number of years to see how the sausage is made. But they are willing to throw actual people under the bus, these payday lender victims, because of this larger contest over eliminating or dismantling the actual Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
But that's not to say, about the Naylor, that the payday lenders don't have a lot of traction on Capitol Hill. And so, and these for-profit colleges, I understand that something like $60 billion a year goes to these crooks who get these veterans and other people aspiring to get an education, they get the Congress to give them cheap federal dollars, which then they charge back to these students at an enormous high interest rates and strap them with lifetime debt and then hand them a useless diploma at the end of the day. I mean, it seems to be totally cruel what's going on, not to mention payday lenders who obviously prey on poor people and charge, 300% interest. I mean, isn't that a scandal in itself?
That's right. I agree. That it's the tragedy of what's happening. I would say that that tragedy is a sideshow of who's truly pulling the strings. In other words, I don't think Susan Collins from Maine or the other 43 senators are doing the bidding precisely of these bottom feeders.
Yeah, but you said that Olympia Snow recused herself because her husband works for a bottom feeder.
Well, yes. Well, I have to deal with that office on a daily basis, so it is difficult.
I don't want to put you in a difficult position.
Yeah, as you are.
Okay. Well. But the long and the short of it is that the real beneficiaries of stalling this appointment and making this agency not function, it benefits the non-state the non-bank. Sector. That's the payday lenders, the private student, the private student loan providers, and other mortgage originators. But these are the same people, of course, that had a lot to do with the original financial crisis.
And some bankers understand that. Some community bankers realize that, it's not that banking is bad. It's that abusive banking is bad. Honest bankers, serve a very important role, and it's the abusive banker that has made it bad for the rest of the financial system. And unfortunately, there are divisions, there are antagonisms. It's difficult for an Occupy Wall Street person to walk in and enjoy a cordial conversation with a banker. But in fact, there are alliances that should be formed. I mean, this is about abuse and not class, if you will.
So, but it's an interesting irony that the fat cats on Wall Street in the big casino are pulling the strings that benefit the bottom feeders.
And I don't know that they intend that.
I see. But so, what is their intention then? The big Wall Street people in the big casino.
Well, I think that just as the left isn't always perfectly well organized and allows democracy to interfere with efficiency sometimes, I think that the big bankers who have enjoyed a lot of the extraction of huge fees, credit card, debit card, et cetera, are very wary of a tough Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and it is an accident that the hostage-taking will actually liberate or continue to enable this other sector, the very worst of the sectors, the mafia bank, if you will. I think if they were all to get into a room and say, can we please let this go through, let's do it. I think that if you ask Richard Shelby, the ranking member of the Senate Banking Committee, he is praying that that the president makes a recess appointment and gets this battle off his back, because this is not a happy fight for him. But now that he's in it, it's difficult for him to reverse course and say, okay, I've been wrong for the last 5 months.
Well, but obviously, this would be a good grist for the election mill for the Obama White House. But I don't see them.
I agree with that, and that's the cynicism. I mean, Public Citizen is a nonpartisan organization. Our goal is not to get the president reelected. Our goal is to try to help the victims of financial abuse, and to the extent that this is a good, rallying effort to show good versus evil and so forth, that's simply not a game that we play. Our goal is to get the victims of, as you call it, the mafia bank to be reformed. So we think the president should use whatever power he has, whatever legal power he has, to confirm or to get through this appointee, to make the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau fully enabled.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Bartlett Naylor.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Bartlett Naylor, the financial policy advocate for Public Citizens Congress Watch Division and the principal of Capital Strategies Consulting, Inc., which works with progressive organizations attempting to reform public policies where corporations play a key role. Formerly, he served as the chief of investigations for the United States Senate Banking Committee, where he led probes into the savings and loan crisis, corporate takeovers, and insider trading. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again on Sunday at 11 a.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Standing along the side of the pickup truck, a shot rang out in the night, just when everything seemed right, another headline written down in America. Bye.